Thank you. Good morning, church. Well, this morning, we also want to acknowledge a group of people who come from the Chinese department. There are some of the youth leaders here. Right behind there, there's a group of them. Just give us a wave. Right there. Yeah, there they are. Thanks for joining our service today. How many of you this morning, you are ready to be challenged by the Word? Oh, man, come on, you can do better than that. How many of you this morning, you are ready to be challenged by the Word? Yeah, that's better, okay? Now, I'm just going to dive right into the Word of God this morning. Now, in 2019, the current world population stands at 7.7 billion. And out of the 7.7 billion, 2.2 billion people are Christians or claim themselves to be Christians. Now, out of the 2.2 billion Christians, the majority of people are really eager to find out their calling in life. While it's true that different individuals are called to do different things in the kingdom of God, there is one calling that is upon all of the 2.2 billion Christians. And that is the call for us to go to the people. So this morning I've entitled my message, Go Unless You Get a No. Go Unless You Get a No. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for you have been so good. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us in the first service. And Lord, we pray right now that you will speak to us as well in the second service, O God. Say the word of God, for we are ready to listen. Say the word of God, for we are ready to be inspired and challenged by you. Say the word of God and remove the scales of our eyes. And we want to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So here you have Jonah, the prophet, being called to go to the great city of Nineveh to preach against his wickedness. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment right now, if you are in Jonah's position, you are living in that era, and oh, bear in mind as well, the city of Nineveh, the Assyrians, they were well known for their cruelty and brutality. So right now, you're asked to go there to preach the gospel. What would be your immediate response? Chances are our response will be exactly the same like Jonah. We would run away immediately. So let's try to break down at this point. Why did Jonah run away? Two reasons. The first thing is this. It is because of the ruthless and godless Assyrians. Imagine preaching to a nation who tortures people for fun. Now, I have some alarming stuff to share with you. And this is what the Assyrians will do to the captives. They would enslave prisoners, they would chain their necks, they would burn their body, they would cut off their hands, feet, nose, ears, and lips. And if that is not enough, they would skin captives alive and put them on a pole for all to see. All of this is to induce terror. And it doesn't just stop there, because what the Assyrians would do is they would actually set up a pyramid of human heads outside the city gate. Why such gory extreme? All of this is to induce terror into the neighboring countries and to send a warning to captives. If you mess with us, this is what you get. So here's the problem right now. The city of Nineveh will be destroyed in approximately 40 days. And so they were doomed. And Jonah was being commissioned to go and preach against his wickedness, to ask them to repent. But Jonah refused to go at this point. How many of you here, just a show of hands, you believe that the end time is near? Just a show of hands, you believe that the end time is near? Okay? Actually, the end time is not near. The end time is here. So, food for thought, if the end time is here, if we are living in end times, think about this, will the enemy step up his game? Yes. Yes, the script has been written. Jesus will have the ultimate victory. At the end of the day, we will defeat the enemy. But think about this, if the enemy has whatever it takes to stop you in your tracks, to stop you from going to the people, to stop you from reaching out to people, to discourage you from going out to do the kingdom's work, that is a tiny victory for him. And that is what the enemy is doing by stepping up his game. But I believe that the more important question to ask is this. Have we as Christians step up our game? I'm going to say that again. Have we as Christians step up our game? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. A familiar passage right here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Has the Great Commission become the great omission in the modern day church? While we continue to be afraid of rejection, while we continue to insist on our comfort, while we continue to tai chi the Great Commission to the pastors, missionaries, leaders, and certain few individuals, the enemy is making progress while we are having our recess. The church needs to be awakened. We need to stop doing church. The word ecclesia is a Greek word defined as a called out assembly, a called out congregation. We need to stop doing church. We got to realize that church is not just a place that we go to. Church is who I am. We are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We were created to stand out. So unless and until we begin to go out of the church, unless and until we break out from the four walls of the church, we're never going to be able to fulfill our God-given calling. And so that is why the church must bring the sacred into the secular. Don't be too caught up with the sacred that we forget that we need to go into the secular. Don't be too caught up with doing church that we forget that we are the church. Don't be too caught up with tradition. You know the tradition of the church? You come to Sunday service, you have worship, word, altar call, fellowship, and then that's it. Here comes the next week. Don't be too caught up with the tradition. But remember, all that we experience on a Sunday service is to send us out to do expedition for the Lord. So don't be too caught up with tradition, but do expedition for the Lord. Don't be too caught up with the doing that we forget about being. Don't be too caught up with the anointing of God. We just want the anointing of God, that we forget that the anointing is for the people. It's for us to go and build the kingdom of God. Yes, we are not off the secular, but we need to go into the secular. Go unless you get a no. So when I talk about going to the people, what I'm talking about is basically making disciples, sharing the gospel, availing yourself to serve in the area of mission, community work, going to places like drop-in center, learning center, hospital visitation team, availing yourself to say, I want to be those that will help to pioneer the Nilai outreach. And if you take a look at this list above, it is found in the latest issue of the Agape Line. I trust that you will grab a copy. If you don't know where to go, you don't know how you can contribute to the community, these are good lists of places that you can begin to start with. You can begin to go there and say, God, I want to go there and minister. I want to go there and be a blessing. We need to go into our sphere of influence, because I don't know about you. It's getting harder and harder to invite non-Christians to the church. I remember this morning, those of you who come for the second service, you're not affected. But those of you who came for first service, which I believe none of you except the full-time staff, this morning while we were coming to church, there was a traffic jam. Basically, there was this marathon, Run for Peace, that was happening. And I remember I came from Jalan Rahang. I stopped there and then I saw, like, you know, I turned into this junction, so the policewoman directed me to another way. And I stopped there, same thing. Everybody was just running and running and running and running. And it was already 8 o'clock. And then I saw a few ushers behind as well, the cars, and I was like, confirmed they were like, oh man, I'm late for duty and things. And I was thinking, hey, relax, you know, I'm a preacher. I'm also like, you know, I'm the preacher, but I'm also so late already. And I was like stressing, it's getting later and later. So to cut a long story short, the traffic police basically push everyone to like, okay, walk this side, keep one lane for us to drive through. So I drive through, I was at just before the Balai Bomba, and then I ran all the way to the Middle Ring Road, and I came back and come back to church this way. Same thing happened again. Everyone was just crossing and crossing. And I was in the car and I was thinking, man, I'm going to be late seriously this time. And I waited, I think, for a good 15 to 20 minutes there. But as I was like waiting at the junction, I had this thought that came across my mind. There are so many people who sign up for this marathon running past the church. Yet there are many of them have yet to set foot in the church. Or many of them will not step into church. The reason is very simple. We're living in a modern-day society where there is a whole New Age movement that teaches about me, myself, and I. Why must you invite me to church? Why must I come to church? Why are you invading my space on a beautiful Sunday morning when I can have breakfast in bed, when I can have dim sum, but you want me to come sit on chairs for 2 hours listening to the preacher talking? The New Age movement is real. Everyone has their own opinion. They don't want to be influenced by others. So, if we, the church, don't go, how then will we be able to reach out to them? I want to come back to the passage right now. Jonah was commissioned and well-positioned to bring light to the city of Nineveh, but he chose to run away to Tarshish. And I want you to focus right now on the word Tarshish. There is something significant about this that we can learn. Why, of all places, this place? First thing is this, because from Joppa, the seaport, to Nineveh, it was about 500 miles. We're talking about some 800 plus km here. And then he chose Tarshish because it stood more than 2,500 miles. That is about 4,000 over kilometers. And Tarshish is equivalent to the modern day Spain. Back then, it was likened to the ends of the earth. That's where you can run to. And it was reported that the ship set sail for Tarshish would not return for 3 years. I want you to learn a very important lesson from this particular passage, from this place, Tarshish. Sometimes the journey back from where God has called us to be, so God calls us to be here to go, and we begin to run away from God, run away from the call of God, and we just go. Sometimes the journey back to where God calls us to be, the journey back to the will of the Father is not as straightforward because it requires 3 years to come back. So that's why you hear many people who say, you know what, I will settle my family first. I'll wait for my children to grow up first before I begin to serve God, before I go and reach out. Let me settle my career first, stabilize everything first, and then only I'll begin to serve. Oftentimes, if you take a look, they will take an even longer time to come back because the ship set sail would not return for 3 years. It is not as straightforward. Running creates distance. You can run away from the call of God. From where you were to where you run to, you're creating a distance. And that distance will only separate you from the will of God. And I want to assure you, if you run away from the call of God, the enemy will provide the transportation for you. And it's free. You don't even need any grab code. It's free of charge. I want you to pay attention to another thing about running. You can run as much as you want to run, but you are always running to something else. And where you run to, that very place becomes your destination. Imagine if Jonah ran to Tarshish and he just settled down there. He can grow accustomed to the culture of Tarshish. Likewise, if we run away from the call of God to wherever it may be, it can be the secular, it can be our comfort zone, it can be just sitting back at home not doing anything, we can grow accustomed to it. And that is the danger. That is the exact trap that the enemy wants us to fall into. Is that us this morning? Are we like Jonah this morning? That we are running away from the call of God to go and make disciples. Church, I want to encourage you, when the Lord assigns, don't resign. we need to go where the decay is. We need to go where the community is. We need to go where the glory of God can be manifested, will be manifested, and must be manifested. We, the church, must go. And the Great Commission works hand in hand with the Great Commandment. Jesus said to Peter, "If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, Caleb, feed my sheep. If you love me, Felicia, feed my sheep. If you love me, Reuben, feed my sheep. If you love me, do something about it. If you love me, go." And the word go shows there is no room for passivity. You know, it's been far too long. Sometimes we settle ourselves into this zone whereby we're just all passive instead of being active. And it's very dangerous because passivity is the enemy of progress. Passivity is the limitation to the acceleration. Passivity is the very reason why we are not experiencing the increase in our life. If we don't go, we won't grow. And I want you to take a look at this picture right now. I want you to take a look at these two little girls, these two cute little girls right here. I wonder, what do you feel when you take a look at these two little girls? I wonder what emotions are stirring up right now as you take a look at this picture. Maybe some of us are not moved, then we need a reality check. Maybe some of us are moved. You feel for her. You would say, if only they can have better education. If only they can have a better chance in life. Some of us would feel compassionate towards these two little girls. And if you're feeling compassionate, you're feeling for them, your heart cries out for them, that's great. But I want you to know, feelings are not everything. You can feel compassionate for someone all the time, but if you don't put your hands to the plow, if you don't put your faith into action, feelings are only going to remain as feelings. Emotions are only going to remain as emotions. Nothing is ever going to change if you just have compassion, but there is no action. Compassion must be met with love, and not just love in terms of words, but love in action, to be specific. Think about Jesus. When Jesus had compassion on the sick, he didn't just stop there. He actually went to the people. He actually ministered to their needs and be right where the people were. And that's what we're called to do. Now, let me ask you, what do you think are the needs of these two little girls here? How many of you say they will need money? Okay, some of you. How many of you say they need love? Okay, the rest of you not raising your hands. How many of you think that they need quality time? Okay, so the rest of you think they don't need anything, is it? Okay, there are a few things that, you know, this is what we call the love language. There are five things here. Was what we call quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, and gifts. I want you to carefully think about it. If you take a look at people like the little girl, and drop in center, this is a group photo. What do you think are the majority of the people's love language there? And I think we would say it will be quality time, it will be words of affirmation, it will be physical touch. Because people at drop-in center, for instance, a lot of them, they just walk around the streets and things like this, and now they have found a place. A lot of them have been abandoned by their family members. Sons and daughters who didn't come back to visit their parents, who have not actually embraced them and give them a hug. We're talking about how sometimes people will talk down upon them. Why are you like this? Why are you so grumpy? Why are you so dirty? There's no words of affirmation. There is no quality time. All they do is they go back home, they spend their time at home alone. There is no quality time or whatsoever. And I want to challenge you this morning, church, to, when we minister to them, let's bear in mind their love language as well. And for all this love language to take place, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation. We need to be physically present in order to be able to extend such love. If we are not physically present, we are never able to do that. So we must go. The next question to ask is this. Which love language do you think is money? Someone said gifts. Gifts. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong, okay? I want to be very clear on this. Agape is blessed to have so many different ones of you giving in the area of mission so generously. Every single time Pastor Ben calls for a call to give, you guys have been giving. You guys have been giving more than you can give. And I just want to applaud you for that. And I want to say, if you have the financial capacity to give, give to the areas of mission. Because money can do wonders in the area of mission. It can really just provide the supply to people's needs. But today, I want to take it another step further and say, not just giving money, but let's bear in mind, these are also people to be loved. They have other love languages as well. Sometimes all they need is just that quality time. Sometimes all they need is just a physical touch. And we must go. We must go. So let's sow seeds of love and hope. And the convenient way, if I may say, is to say, you know what, I will pray for the people. I would just give the money and, you know, just allow the rest of the people to do the work. If everyone is just doing that, if everyone is just sowing seeds, who then is watering the seed? Can the pastors and missionaries be able to cover all of it? There is an imbalance right here, and I think we need to learn how to balance it and say, hey, I'm not just going to sow seeds, but I am going to water the seeds as well. So I will go. Some of us might be wondering, what difference would it make if I go? Like, honestly, think about it. What difference would it make if I just go for one time, two times, three times? Seed has tremendous potential. It has every ability to grow into a full-bloom plant or tree. So don't underestimate your going. And I want to testify to that right now. Some years back, as you all know, Agape, we organized an annual mission trip to Sabah. And there was a time we went to Cambodia as well. And I remember before I signed up for the mission trip, I was a bit skeptical. Like, you know, we're going to Sabah for a few days. Like, okay, what sort of impact would we make? You know, because we're just going there, touch base and go. But little did I know I was proven wrong. When we arrive there, that place that we go to, it is open to the public. All you need to do is just to pay 5 ringgit and you get to enjoy the river. And it's really a clean river kind of thing. And so what happened was, at night, we had this BBQ session. And the little boys and little girls there were like, Abang, Abang, come and join us and swim in the river. And I look at my watch, I was like, it's 9:30 at night. Who swims in the river at night? Cut a long story short, they pull our hands, they drag us into the water, and we just played with them. And, you know, they just had so much fun. And you can see that right there, seeds were being planted. It was just spending time with the people, going to the people. But the most touching thing happened when the next day, the morning, we were at the learning center in Sabah, back in the city. And this girl, she basically cycled for 45 minutes to deliver some kueh muih to us, for us to eat. And then she cycled back another 45 minutes to go back home, get herself changed, wait for a few hours, come back to the school again, cycle another 45 minutes. She went to such great lengths just to deliver the kueh muih to us. And then it was like those Korean drama. You know, it's like she was cycling back and then she knew that we were leaving because we were leaving in a few hours. She just like waved like that, bye-bye. She didn't want to turn around and look at us. Reason is very simple. She was tearing. And it's like those Korean drama, like wind is blowing, flower petals are dropping, and she's like waving away, bye-bye. And of course, the entire team knows that she was crying. It was so hard to say goodbye because the other students in the center, they hug us and they were crying as well and they were saying, When are you going to come back again? Yes, the mission trip was just a few days. We went there to do team building activities just for a few days. But can you see the potential of the seed that we planted right there? So don't underestimate your going. You never know how you can impact and touch lives when you go out of your comfort zone. The next thing I want to highlight about the potential of seed, about how we shouldn't underestimate our going, is to go to drop-in center. Earlier this year, I remember I availed myself to share the word at the drop-in center, and I said, you know what, I will go. And all I have in my mind is, I will go share the word. Brother Frankie can help me to translate, okay? And it's easier that way. And he was like, you know what? Hey, you can speak Mandarin, right? You just take everything lah, bao ka liao. And then I was like, okay. And then when I went there, nearing the date, he was like, how about you preach in Cantonese instead? And I was like, the Cantonese that I know, I learned it basically from Hong Kong dramas. So, you know, it's a bit like not so proper, you know. It's the very rough type of language. Cut the long story short, I went, I shared the word, and I was blessed as well to see that different individuals coming together and seeing that, you know, they are just really connecting with God. They are just so simple in their faith. So this year, I've actually challenged the youth cells to say, you know what, all four youth cells, you guys need to go in conjunction with the September Community Month. As youth cells, go and minister at drop-in center, lighten the load of Brother Frankie and the family, and avail yourself to serve this month and next month, and then slot yourself in. So they are going to share the word. I don't know how they're going to do it in Mandarin, some of them, but I will help them. They're going to lead worship in Mandarin as well. They're going to help to serve the food, connect with the seniors, and that is what they're going to do. So it's really about coming out of your comfort zone and going to the people. And I want you to turn your attention to the screen right now, and we're going to take a look at this amazing video right here.
The DIC originated as a street ministry where a group of church members started to minister to lonely people on the street. Later, in 2006, the DIC began its operation as a community outreach at Taman Bukit Lemon, located at the heart of Seremban town so that lonely people will have a place to keep warm, have some food, shower and rest. Fast forward to 2018, by the grace of God and the generous giving of fellow Agapians, Agape purchased the building. Renovation works took place immediately to continue serving the community of Seremban better. We have a workshop and a soup kitchen on every Tuesday, Thursdays and Fridays. Volunteers will come to the center to help the workshop. Through this workshop, the center can earn some money for the soup kitchen expenses. Volunteers help to cook and supply items to the center so that we can continue to serve the lonely street people of Seremban. Every Wednesday, we have a cell group meeting which starts with icebreakers and then a time of worship, testimonies, and finally, a cell lesson teaching. On Saturdays, we have a worship service where all are welcome to join.
我喺 DIC 服侍咗十年，我学到如何去爱神，点样去爱人，又更加对呢度嘅老人家、弟兄姊妹、朋友，俾佢哋一个忍耐嘅心、怜悯嘅心看待佢哋。睇到呢班老人家，佢哋都有一个好团结嘅心，佢哋中意响呢度咧啊做手工。他们很愿意在这里有一个分享，很愿意在这里更加的彼此的认识，彼此的鼓励，彼此的帮忙，这个是我很欣赏他们的个性。
有一天我妈带我出去街上走走，我遇到一个朋友叫七姐妈妈的朋友，他讲你每天带你女儿走出来走出来都无所事事，不如你们上黎明山那边有个教会叫做爱华之家，带他上去啊做做手工啊，帮忙做做手工，认识认识朋友，让他去那边开心开心啊，就是叫妈妈就啊过后就带我来了。我的朋友啊利用了，利用是很好的，是怎么样好呢？每次我去那里，比如妈妈没有空，我要去小便了，因为我看不到嘛，他就拖我去哦，带我去，带我回哦。好像我妈妈来带很多东西拿啊，他又帮忙我妈妈出来帮妈妈拿啊，又帮忙把妈妈照顾我啊，照顾 baby 我的一个 baby 咯。然后还有啊，丽玲姐咯，每次我们来到这里哦，她都会啊回家带我们回。一直带我们出去走走，带我们去吃东西，他又教我啊唱诗歌啊，鼓振我唱，我唱错了诗歌，他就鼓振我咯。我的人脾气又不好，然后呢到这边一段日子哦，我都没有感觉的。这边的负责人就讲，小薇，你觉得吗？你整个人都不通了。我讲哈不通了，我讲是我，他讲你的人很开朗了啊。没有以前这样啊，没有以前这样啊，没有什么讲话，现在会跟人家沟通啊，好像啊，不像以前这样啊。这样我再想想想，哦，真的哦，我真的是变了哦，我的啊自尊心啊，还有我的信心，我自己拿回了，我很感激啊耶稣。
You know, when lives are transformed for the better, as you can see in the video, the testimony, the power of God is at display. And a lot of times we associate God's power to just healings and miracles, but life transformation is also the demonstration of God's power. God's power works in both the supernatural and the natural. And as you can see, His power is at work at the drop-in center. I wonder how many of us here, you know, if it has struck a chord in you, that video, and I pray that, you know, it will be more than just striking a chord in you, but it would be moving you to action, to move you to say, hey, I might not be able to commit long-term for this, but if it means one time, I will still go, because I want to sow seeds. If you want to avail yourself to serve in any capacity, as you can see in the video, maybe you can cook, maybe you can lead worship in Mandarin, maybe you can just connect with the seniors to just make them feel love. Do see Brother Frankie after the service, talk to him and say, how can I help you? In what capacity can I help? Whether it's just short-term or long-term, because we need short-term missionaries, we need middle-term missionaries, and we need long-term missionaries. So the question really is, are we ready to go? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. I want to look at this passage again. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I believe that a lot of times we are unable to just comprehend verse 19. I think that's beyond my capacity, verse 19. Go and make disciples of all nations. But I want to just point your attention to the verse, because the key is found in verse 18 and verse 20. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, it is not our role, it is not our job to bring about conviction in someone else's life. It is not our job to ensure there is salvation. It is not our job to ensure that, you know, there is growth and things like this. That job belongs to the Holy Spirit. Our job and our role is just to go unless God says no. Our job is not to figure out the success rate. If I go, will I actually succeed? Our job is to just go and remember that God goes with us. So turn to the person next to you and say, the pressure is off. All right, it's only this side saying. Let's say that again. The pressure is off. I want to challenge you, really, knowing that the pressure is off, perhaps some of us here, we need to change our default setting of saying no to the call of God to, I want to be open to what the Holy Spirit has to say. God, if you're calling me to go somewhere, it might not be far, it might not be places like Nineveh, but it can be just be places as near as drop-in center, the list of centers that you saw just now. I want to be open to what you have to say. Don't talk yourself out of what God is trying to call you into. Don't be like Jonah who said, you know what, that is not for me. Nineveh is not the place for me. You make a mistake right there. Let's be open. Instead of lamenting about the darkness in the world, instead of commenting like, you know, it's just so hard to reach people these days, let's focus on being the light. Let's focus on bringing light to the community. Let's focus on being a blessing. You know, when God saved us, when we first accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, light came into our life. Right now, we need to understand that that light that came into our life, there is a purpose to it. In turn, we now exist to bring light to the people around us. And I just want to say this, church, you have so much of God's grace, love, mercy, joy, and peace, light, and story, the list goes on, that you have, that the world needs. That if you just keep it to yourself, nothing is ever going to change. We are never going to be able to impact the world. Young and elder alike. For us younger ones, some of you here, you have a fresh idea on how to reach out to people, your friends. We need those. The elder ones, they say, yim dong or say, maya. You eat more salt than rice in comparison to me. You have experience. You know what is it like to see the goodness of God, to see the glory of God being manifested. We cannot be passive. We need to come together and say, there is a story in me that the world needs to hear. If I don't go, no one will. Oh, I'm sorry. There's actually someone that will go. That's the enemy. So I believe that the ball is at our court right now. What will we do? Anyone here, you have ever missed a flight? Missed a flight? Yeah? Some years back, I was in Sydney Airport, and Derek was sending me to the airport. I was catching a flight back to Malaysia after the Hillsong Conference. And he told me that, you know, don't worry about it. You will not miss the flight. And there was a traffic jam. We arrived at the airport. I was supposed to meet up with my cousin's sister who resided in Sydney back then. And so it was a quick hi-bye. They bought me Vietnamese roll for me to eat and things. The next thing I know, I heard the announcement. Flight number, da-da-da, please report to the station right now. This is the last call. I remember grabbing my luggage, sprinting across the entire Sydney airport. I've never done that before. It's an accomplishment. But yeah, I ran and I arrived at the custom. And I tell you, the moment I saw the custom, I was panicking. It was packed with people. And never have I spoken in so much tongues before in my entire life. And I was like, I'm going to miss my flight this time around. To cut a long story short, I got two options. One is, I really got to be spiritual. I got to keep speaking in tongues and hope that the flight is delayed. The second thing is, be thick-skinned, suck up my ego, and go to people and say, do you mind letting me cut the queue? Because I'm going to miss my flight. Cut a long story short, there was quite a long time I was queuing up and things like this, hesitating, should I not? But then at the same time, shikaraba kind of thing there. Cut a long story short, the announcement came up again. The flight has been delayed. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. But my point is this. You can be physically present in the airport, yet you miss your flight. And then you miss the whole purpose of being in the airport. Likewise, you can be physically present in the church, yet you miss the entire point altogether and miss out on the call of God. And the call is for us to go to the people. Can I invite the worship team to come back up? I want you to know that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. If we don't go, the enemy will go. Can I just invite you to stand right now at this point? You know, at the start of my message, I remember asking you, have we as Christians stepped up our game? Now, at the end of the message, I just want to paraphrase it a little bit, and I want to ask you, will we as Christians step up our game? Will we have the audacity to go to the people? Will we have the courage to be able to sing, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Don't miss out on this calling, church. The world needs us. We can be the solution. We can be the light. We can be the answer to all the questions out there in the world. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to sing, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. I just want to challenge you where you are to just connect with God and say, Lord, convict me right now. Convict me right now. So all across this place, let's just begin to pray right now. Hallelujah.